From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is a special pledge drive episode of Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Today, we're revisiting investigations coming from journalists we've teamed up with in local newsrooms across the country. Next up, school vouchers. It's a program that spends taxpayer dollars to send kids to private school. It's supposed to give lower-income kids a shot at a better education. 16 states and Washington, D.C. offer vouchers, but our reporting partners at WWNO and Fox 8 WVUE-TV in New Orleans found the voucher program wasn't living up to its promise. Kids weren't necessarily performing better, but someone was benefiting. Private schools who had trouble filling their seats. One of those schools is McMillan Academy in New Orleans. A little girl named Demi Martin went to McMillan for first and second grade. Her mom, Dominique, didn't like the feel of the place.
McMillan, for me, they were running a school like a business versus a school.
The truth is, McMillan Academy is a business. It's a for-profit company built off the voucher program. Tuition is about $9,000 a year. The state picks up the tab for every single student. In 2017, that added up to more than $1.3 million. That's more than Louisiana would have paid to keep those students in public schools. Reveal local lab partners wanted to find out just where those taxpayer dollars are going. Here's reporter Jess Clark with member station WWNO.
McMillan Academy is run by CEO Linda McMillan. It's a private, for-profit elementary school, so its records aren't public, and that makes the money trail hard to follow. But we use state data to calculate that in 2017, the school took in more than $1 million in voucher payments. Here's my reporting partner, Lee Zurich of Fox 8, explaining where some of that money went.
As McMillan started receiving more state money, records submitted to the IRS show Linda McMillan received a big raise. In 2017, her salary increased $53,000 to $204,000 a year.
That's about double what a principal in the public school system makes. Meanwhile, Dominique says McMillan Academy required parents to raise money for the school. They had to donate food, sell candy, and go to fundraisers. Remember that all of McMillan parents use vouchers. They're all low income. Records also show the school lent $7,000 to a nonprofit childcare center, also run by Linda McMillan. But somehow the nonprofit now owes the school more than $56,000 on that loan. We wanted to ask Linda how that happened and a lot of other things. So we went to the school, and at first, she seemed like she would talk to us.
You can do the interview with me anytime next week.
But she later declined. So recently, I went back to the school to try again. The McMillan complex takes up almost half a city block. It's wedged between an auto parts store and auto repair shop. It's painted a cheerful yellow, trimmed in bright blue and red. A cutout of their mascot, a happy beaver in a prep school uniform, waves down from a high wall.
I'm a reporter with New Orleans Public Radio, and I was hoping to speak with either Linda or Harold McMillan.
Okay, I'm sorry.
A receptionist wearing a navy McMillan polo shirt said they weren't in.
Do you know when they'll be in?
You can, actually, I can take your card.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I left my card, and I followed up, but I never heard back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You too.
The business is a family affair. Linda and Harold run the school. One of their sons is a teacher, another is an administrator, and their daughter is the band director. And Linda's brother has been the principal. It's the kind of arrangement that's generally not allowed under state ethics laws for public schools. But it's not prohibited at private schools, even where public dollars pay tuition. Those are the unusual business practices our investigation uncovered. But we found a pattern of questionable education practices, too.
State records show in the spring of 2017, the State Department of Education received an anonymous report of test cheating in McMillan.
Lee and I found documents showing state officials questioned students as part of their investigation.
Before investigators asked a question about the test, 21 students voluntarily told investigators they had not cheated. The investigators concluded these students had likely been prepared by McMillan staff to answer that way.
Like they'd been coached on what to say. When investigators returned the next year, they saw a number of weird things. A test monitor with their eyes closed for 10 minutes. A suspicious number of answers changed from wrong to right. Nearly 70% of students were allowed to have the questions read aloud to them due to learning disabilities. That's 7 times higher than average in Louisiana. Schools are supposed to document disabilities to get test-taking accommodations, but McMillan didn't. The state sanctioned the school. This fall, they can keep the voucher students they have, but they can't take any new ones. After our investigation made these cheating allegations public, Louisiana State University decided not to renew an $800,000 grant that had supported low-income families in McMillan's child care program. That's when the McMillans broke their silence. Kind of. The school staged a protest in downtown New Orleans, calling our coverage a media lynching of the school. Parents and teachers circled up and held signs that said, "We want the facts," and hashtag fake news. Linda McMillan hovered in the background. When we tried to confront her, she turned away and made for her car. Her lawyer, Donatus King, blocked our path.
Okay, but my job is to make sure that we get to, what's those signs say? Facts. That's my job. Get to the facts. And the facts are not going to be gotten at standing on the street right now.
I asked King about the fact that state investigators found evidence of possible cheating by McMillan on state tests.
I understand what you said. What's that word you said? Possible. And when you throw that out there, it's possible, and I'm gonna be blunt about it, it's possible that you're a serial killer. It's possible.
But there's no evidence that I'm a serial killer. There was evidence that there was manipulation of tests, of the testing.
What did you say earlier? You said there's evidence that it's possible. All right? Possible. That's not evidence.
King said he'd sit down and talk with us. But when we followed up, he said no comment. Anne Duplessis, the former Democratic state lawmaker who helped get the voucher program passed, told us she's disappointed by the cheating allegations at McMillan. But she says the fact that they were caught reflects well on the state's oversight.
It is a testament to the accountability measures that we have in place, this program, that the department, we are not waiting 5, 10 years to react, right? It's swift.
McMillan may be an extreme example of what can happen when a state education program has minimal oversight. Voucher advocates and private school administrators say the vast majority of schools are following the rules. Voucher critics say those who don't are hurting kids.
Kids aren't just slipping through the cracks because of the rules. They're actually falling into dangerous educational situations.
Andre Perry is an education researcher and activist. He's lived in New Orleans, helped manage a charter school network here, and studied the city's education system. He's now a scholar at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C.
I do think that a voucher program does inspire a new crop of educational providers, but it also will invite more nefarious characters who have no interest in educating folks, but they do want easy money.
And it's easy to become a voucher school in Louisiana. The application is 16 pages long with lots of yes or no questions. The state has never turned down a school that's applied. Perry says Louisiana's lax approach extends to other states as well.
This is a problem in other states where vouchers have ballooned. And so this is a national problem.
But politicians are hesitant to put too many restrictions on private voucher schools, even those with low test scores. James Garvey is a member of Louisiana State School Board, which we call BESSE for short. He's up for re-election this fall.
I'm a proponent for parental choice in almost every form. Charter schools, vouchers.
Lee and I asked Garvey if, given the low test scores and lax approval process, BESSE should be doing more on the front end to make sure voucher schools are high quality.
You know, the parents are doing the research on whether to send their children there or not.
It's on the parents.
It's a combination of BESSE and parents.
But shouldn't BESSE
be the only? No, we should not be the only.
But shouldn't BESSE be making sure that the schools who are participating in the program are good schools?
I would say that there should be some steps in that direction, yes.
Given all that you've heard about Louisiana's voucher program, you may be surprised to learn that it has more regulations than many other states. 16 states plus DC allow vouchers, but Louisiana and Indiana are the only ones that can punish voucher schools for low test scores. In both states, schools with failing scores can't accept new voucher students, but they can keep the voucher students they already have, even if those students aren't succeeding academically.
Thanks to Jess Clark of WWNO and Lee Zirk of Fox 8 WVUE-TV for that story. Investigations like this one take a long time and a lot of money. You can support this kind of journalism by contributing to this public radio station. Here's some folks to tell you how to do that.